Sue and I were just talking, and it's been a good week of shows.
We're as surprised as you are, honestly.
I know. We didn't mean to, but somehow or another, we pulled off, you know, four good shows. Now, that means one of them was kind of weak. I don't know. I mean, you be the judge.
Right.
This could be the one that sucked.
And I will say it is important for you to realize that, you know, just because we had a few good shows, you shouldn't raise your expectations.
Yeah, no, don't expect like this one to be good.
Or next week. They could. Okay. I mean, and that's important because then you'll start expecting stuff. Our bar will get higher to clear. Like, we want you to have the lowest expectations possible.
So this one really was. Well, you find out for yourself. It's actually really, really good. Got some great stuff today. All part of the program that you're about to hear. Brought to you in part by Relief Factor. I've got Jib Jahibowitz with us now, and Jib.
Hello.
Hi, Jib. How are you?
Hi, Glenn. How are you?
You have not taken Relief Factor yet, or you?
Oh, I wouldn't touch the stuff.
You wouldn't touch the stuff.
No.
And Jib, what's the ailment that you have that you're living in constant pain?
I have a sour womb.
You have a sour womb.
I have a sour womb.
Okay.
I can't seem to reproduce children at all.
Right, and.
As much I obviously am female.
Of course you are. No one was questioning that.
I just wanted to make it clear.
Yeah. Okay.
And so I keep trying to get knocked up. Nothing works. But I will not go near Relief Factor.
Yeah, well, I don't think...
Nope, won't do it.
Yeah, Relief Factor doesn't really affect sour womb. If you are in pain, try Relief Factor. ReliefFactor.com. Call 1-800...
Ouch! It's not womb, it's sour.
Yeah. Well, don't open it. 800-4-RELIEF. 800-4-RELIEF. ReliefFactor.com.
You're listening to the best of the Glenn Beck program.
Well, hello, Stu.
Glenn, happy Friday.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. And good news about the jobs being added, right?
Yeah, lots of jobs. Yeah. It just shows that they have no idea how to control the things they say they know how to control.
Yeah.
It's almost like a centrally planned economy is
not
something we want.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, 19% are very worried about the safety of their money, and 29% are pretty worried about the safety of their money. This is exactly what it looked like in 2008. And I will tell you right now, don't worry about the security of your money in the bank. If you have more than $250,000 in the bank, in one bank, then you should worry about it. But if you don't, you're going to get up to $250,000 back from FDIC. Okay, now with that being said, don't worry about the security of the money in your bank. Worry about the value of the money in your bank. If things collapse, you'll get $250,000. That's fantastic. But because everybody's going to get whatever they had in new dollars, how much are those dollars going to be worth? That is the secret here of why people are not freaking out. They're not understanding how inflation works and what we're doing. So the interest rates continue to go up because it's killing the value of the dollar, because the United States of America, our government, is spending us into oblivion. That hurts the value of the dollar. Too many dollars chasing too few goods. So the value of the dollar goes down. That means if you had $100 in the bank and it's the same $100 that you had in the bank, 10 years ago, it's probably worth about 90 cents or 80 cents today. It still says 100, and the FDIC will still give you $100 back. But its purchasing power is maybe 80 cents. That's what you need to be concerned with. The banking system the banking system can be a complete rout. It's the dollar that you should be concerned about. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I mean, I might push back a little bit with a tad minor bit of concern about actually getting even the money that I have back. I mean, I know it's insured, but I keep looking at this program and thinking to myself, they don't have the money to insure all these banks. Obviously, yeah, that's not how insurance works.
No, they will print it.
They will just print it.
They will print it.
I guess that's true. They're not.
They're not going to break their promise on giving you money, especially since I think they're intentionally wanting the greenback to break. They want a CBDC. Yeah. So why not print the money?
Again, an insurance program is set up not to have every single dollar that could possibly be needed to have in it. That's not how any insurance product works, right? They don't have to have all the money available to pay every claim.
It's a government program.
Right. They have a percentage of it, a percentage more than they believe they'd ever need. And if it goes higher than whatever they have in that fund, which was, what, $128 billion?
Mm-hmm.
If it goes higher than that.
Which it already has.
Though they've had other ways to cover it so far. Bigger banks stepping in, doing all those other things. If it goes beyond that, they will pass more money for it. They will print money for it. They will go through. But again.
And they'll gouge your eyes out at the bank. At the bank. Mm-hmm. The bank will charge more for the service because they have to pay more for the, quote, insurance.
Right. I mean, you're going to wind up paying for it.
Both ways.
Yeah.
You'll pay for it in the value of your dollar and the actual amount of dollars you have at the bank.
I have no doubt that the government will do whatever they have to do to protect these programs. But like, we do have a lot of political dysfunction in this country. And when they need to do it, will they? And it's also questionable whether it's good for the country. I mean, at some level, you start spending all of this money and you're ruining the dollar.
No, they already have their escape hatch planned. They already have it. It's CDBC. Mm-hmm. You just reset the dollar and you reset it on something else. You reset it on the American land.
I guess what I'm saying is I'm not confident. You're like, be confident that your money will be there. That to me is not confidence. If that's how this plays out, that's not confidence.
Well, I'm trying to give you everything is nuanced.
Yeah.
I'm trying to give you the truth
that
you will get your money
in some form.
But how much will it be worth? I mean, you could get Reichsmarks like crazy in the Weimar Republic. They didn't have a problem.
You could get your money.
You got your money.
In wheelbarrows.
Right.
To go get a loaf of bread.
Yes.
You got it.
You get your money. They will never run out of money. They will pay it. Worry about the value of your money. Taking your money out of the bank right now does nothing except perhaps accelerate a banking collapse.
Right.
Okay. Leave it in. Doesn't matter. Take it out strategically and put it in other things that might hold value. I don't know what those are.
Like
is it
gold,
land?
Bitcoin.
They could take the land. I mean, they already were talking about we don't have enough land for wind farms. And who was it? The Secretary of Energy or one of these guys said, I think it's about time we start looking at eminent domain and just taking that land. So I don't know. Is it land? Is it gold? Is it silver? Gold they could take. Guns they could take. I mean, I don't know what's going to have value. Food. But you know what they did in Weimar? If you had food. This is why my Patriot Supply delivers in unmarked boxes. In Weimar Republic, anybody who had prepared, they were suddenly called hoarders. And they were demonized in the press because they were hoarding all the food. And they were like, I'm not hoarding the food. I was prepared. I saw what was coming. I was prepared. So keep it to yourself. Keep it to yourself.
Yeah, I think it's good advice to be prepared, right? It's irrationally stupid for the government to tell you there's nothing to worry about at all. This is what they're trying to say with these banks. Oh, there's nothing going on.
There is
something going on, and you should be skeptical as to whether this is going to be a major problem. preparing yourself for major problems is part of what you do as an adult. That's adulting.
Yeah, but is it now in America?
It's supposed to be.
Yeah, but let me ask you. Do you see the thing? We're going to talk about it later. Do you see the thing up in New York, the Marine, that this guy was, this homeless guy, this black guy, was harassing everybody on the subway? Now, nobody is, I mean, very few people are riding the subway now in comparison to the way it used to be, because it is so dangerous, okay? And everybody does the same thing. They just sit there in the car and they're like, just don't, just be invisible. I'm invisible. Okay?
You hope and pray. And by the way, we should mention, you mentioned the race, because of course this is becoming a racial issue.
Yeah, this is going to be a George Floyd. They're trying to make it into George Floyd. So this guy, he's homeless. He's probably nuts. He has a record. He's saying, I can't afford anything. Give me some money. Give me some money. And do we have the video of it? Yeah, here's the video of it. So a Marine comes up behind him and puts him in a chokehold. Two other people are helping hold this guy down. They're protecting themselves.
And the other people on the train.
Who've
been threatened by this person.
Correct. Mm-hmm. So the Marine grabs him, puts him in a chokehold, chokes him out. Well, the guy dies. Now they're going after the Marine, saying he's a murderer. Hmm. Now, let me ask you something. Is the government doing things as it's collapsing around you? We know it's all collapse. We know. These cities are becoming Gotham. And I love the fact that they're saying bring back all the mental institutions and just involuntarily, admit people. No thanks, Gotham. I'd like to stay away from, the Arkham prison and hospital. I think that would be good. That didn't work out real well. Can we finally watch a movie? So they're saying that maybe we have to scoop all these people and institutionalize them. No, I don't think that's the answer.
I think it's the answer in some circumstances.
In some circumstances. Yes. Mm-hmm. But be very careful. Those are always used by dictators in very bad ways. And I don't care if it's a dictator on the right or the left. You don't want to give them carte blanche on just picking people up and putting them in an asylum.
Right. Carte blanche is bad.
Right. So is the government of New York... They are not taking the steps to arrest people. They are letting crime go free. They're letting criminals go free. They're letting murderers go free. A decent person just trying to get to and from work riding the subway is abused almost every day. They're frightened, honestly, frightened that once those doors close and you're in a tunnel and somebody stands up and says something, nobody's going to do anything. Everybody's just like, just please get to my station. Please get to my station. Okay? That's not good. And then if somebody stands up because the guy's getting really quite abusive, if you hurt him in any way, you're the criminal. The government should be saying, any government of, for, and by the people, what part of government is the most important part in that government?
Of, for, and by the people?
Mm-hmm. The people!
Okay. Yeah, I was going to go for one of the three, but yeah,
right.
That works.
The people!
They're mentioned in all three.
Right. Mm-hmm. So any government that is protecting itself and doing everything it can to make it harder for you to protect yourself is a problem. It is a problem. Are they making it easier for you? We all know the dollar is, well, not all of us know. The dollar is going to collapse. The end of the dollar as we know it is coming. Okay, it's not going to be the reserve currency. It's already in the 40% range. It was 80%. Of global currency that is being held as gold in the reserves all around the world. It's now in the 40 percentile. Okay, well, what does that mean? That means a smart person, like all other countries, are hedging their bet. They're also putting some gold. Is the government suppressing? Is the government making it easier? How about Bitcoin? Is the government making it easier, or are they trying to criminalize it so you can't get it, so you have to stay in the dollar? The violence on our streets, the crime going up, police, they're not around. Some cities, they don't even show up. Maybe you're lucky if they come the next day. So you know you can't count on the police. So is the government making it easier or harder for you to protect yourself? Harder. They're taking away your guns, and anyone who defends themselves, they're doing a George Floyd march. You got a hostile government. It's clear. You have a hostile government that no longer understands this is a country of, by, and for the people. You just have to do the next right thing and assume they're not, but you must do the next right thing. This is the best of the Glenn Beck program, and we really want to thank you for listening. It's Fight Back Friday. I try not to bring you, I try to bring you news where people are standing up, fighting back, and winning. This one is early, but first, this is going to just, it'll drive you out of your mind. However, by the end, you're going to love this story. Federal government recently told a Catholic hospital in Oklahoma to either blow out its small candle or stop serving the elderly, disabled, and low-income patients. St. Francis Health System is the 12th largest hospital in the nation. The health system cares for 400,000 patients a year. It has given away more than $650 million in free medical care in the past 5 years alone. It employs 11,000 Oklahomans. St. Francis' mission is to extend the presence and healing ministry of Christ in addition to providing compassionate and top-notch care to its patients. St. Francis lives out its religious mission by maintaining multiple chapels throughout the hospital. Each has been blessed by the local bishop. So what is the problem? If you're a Catholic, you will understand this right away. If you are not, let me educate just a little bit. 1960, they opened their doors. And they have a sanctuary candle. If you walk into any Catholic church, there is always one either hanging from the ceiling or on a pillar somewhere near the altar. And it is in double glass, and it is a giant candle that burns constantly. The candle is never out. This is something that Catholics, it is the ever-present representation of the living Christ, that he is always with us. So this is a really big deal to Catholics. Well, the government has come in and decided that they have to get rid of that open flame. It's been there since 1960. They got to get rid of that open flame because it poses a danger. Let me explain. The flame is not near medical equipment and patients. It's shielded by two glass holders. It sits on a brass basin, is affixed to the wall, has a brass top covering it, and sprinkler heads just above it. But the federal government said, we're going to shut you down unless you put the flame out. Well, unfortunately, there is an attorney that didn't like that too much. And she just wrote Secretary Becerra and said, in 25 days, you will cripple the operation of one of the premier hospitals in the state of Oklahoma simply because they keep a candle in the hospital chapel. If you refuse to accredit St. Francis Hospital South, it will result in such unreasonable financial losses to the St. Francis health system that it would abruptly and immediately jeopardize its services to the elderly, disabled, low-income patients that rely on Medicare, Medicaid, Children's Health Insurance Program, yada, yada, yada. If you go to court, you will lose. I write in the hopes that you will see reason, or at least the law, and we can skip to the easy part. That attorney is with us now. Her name is Lori Windham, and she is part of the Beckett. She's vice president and senior counsel at the Beckett Law Firm. Hello, Lori.
Glenn, hello. Thanks so much for having me on.
Oh, I read your letter, and it made me all warm inside. Thank you. So this isn't about, I mean, the hospital has pilot lights. They have flames that are all over the hospital that if you extinguish this one, you would have to turn off all of the pilot lights. But they're not asking for that. This is clearly an attack on the religion.
You know, I have been doing religious liberty work for many years now at Beckett. That's all we do. And this one shocked even me. I'm not easily shocked anymore. But the idea that a federal agency is going to come after your ability to serve the poor, the elderly, and the disabled just over a sanctuary candle, when they're willing to make waivers for all these other things. This is not how any of this is supposed to work.
So I like your confidence that you're going to lose, and you would lose with this Supreme Court. But how open and shut is it locally in circuit courts? How open and shut is this?
It is open and shut because we have first the Constitution, which our federal agencies ought to be paying attention to, and we also have laws in the books like the Religious Freedom Restoration Act that make it clear that if the government is going to restrict your religious exercise, it has to have a very good reason. This is a textbook case of not having a good reason. But I want to tell you, this is breaking right now. We just got a letter from CMS saying that they have seen the light. And in fact, they are going to allow the candle to continue to glow and to light the chapel.
What? Now, see, this is even a happier ending than I thought we had. Thank you for breaking that news. So this is over because you guys stood up.
That's exactly right. And that's what's so important to know. You know, you get these letters from these federal bureaucrats, and they think that if they just tell the religious people, you know, you don't really have to do this. No, you're going to pay, you know, this unbelievable amount of money. If you don't give in, that people are just going to give in. And it shows the power of a single candle. It shows the power of someone who's willing to stand up and say, no, this is my faith, and I'm going to fight for it. I'm not going to buckle.
I think that, Lori, we have more religious freedom now than we've had maybe in 100 years, and people don't understand. If you stand up now for your religious freedom, I mean, people are putting the Ten Commandments back in front of courthouses and in front of, you know, the city or county buildings, because you have the right to do it. All of these things that have been taken down, the crosses and everything else, people don't realize you've won this now. Put them back up. Go the religious liberty that you have thought you lost, it's back. And some of this stuff needs to be challenged that you don't, you know, like this, they start to encroach right now. Religious liberty is very strong. Am I wrong?
You're exactly right. And, you know, we take some of these cases to the Supreme Court, and sometimes we're getting 9-0 wins, not 5-4, not 6-3, 9-0, protecting religious freedom. And so I think that right now, those who are opposed to religious freedom are going to depend on, you know, on scaring people, on canceling people, on telling them, no, you can't do this. And what people need to understand is the law is on their side. The courts are protecting their rights. It is possible to stand up and say, no, we're not going to allow this to happen to us.
So we saw the FBI target the Catholic Church, the extremists, you know, and call them extremists and possible terrorists. And they are trying to infiltrate the Catholic Church. There was another story. I can't remember what it was. I read this story yesterday about another 19 Catholic churches that are under attack from the government. And now this Catholic hospital. is the government specifically targeting Catholics?
You know, I don't know where all of this is coming from. It's absolutely a disturbing trend. And I think that it shows that when people are standing up for their faith, others are paying attention, and some of them aren't going to like it. You know, one thing I want to mention legally here, and some of the protections that have actually been strengthened, is the Supreme Court has said when people start to do this, when people in government start to crack down on religious freedom, and it's these really blatant violations of rights, they can actually be personally liable for what they had done. The courts can actually go after them individually. And that's something important for people to understand, is that there are real consequences. If you're going to crack down, if you're going to discriminate, if you're going to go after those who are out there living faithfully and following the law.
One last thing. Your law firm is nonprofit. You have been fighting for religious freedom. That's all you do at your law firm. Is this something, if somebody is having a problem anywhere, they can call and run their case by you guys, or is it just Oklahoma?
We are nationwide. This is at Beckett Law. We'd be happy to talk to you. We provide all of our services pro bono. We are here to defend religious freedom.
God bless you. Thank you so much, Lori. And great news.
Thank you.
Thank you for that. BeckettLaw.org. BeckettLaw.org. Don't take it anymore. Don't take it. There's this guy, this pastor up in Minnesota. They just passed a law of conversion therapy, against conversion therapy in Minnesota. And you can do it as long as you don't charge. And this pastor got up and said, wait a minute. Conversion therapy against anything is free. I'll conversion therapy against any sin, any problem you have, we'll treat for free because that's what we do. However, because they say we can't charge, which we don't anyway, because they say we can't charge, that's an encroachment on our religious belief. And so I'm going to charge a dollar. I'm not doing it to get rich. I am doing it so they come after and they learn their lesson. No encroachment on religious liberty. That is the only real shield, armor of God. Put the entire armor of God on and start pushing back and holding to our religious liberty.
The best of the Glenn Beck program.
Yeah, so that was definitely not us blowing up the Kremlin. That was definitely not us, according to us.
I mean, I kind of tend to believe us on that
too.
One. It did
I
not
do.
Look like a serious attempt.
No, but neither did Afghanistan's withdrawal.
But that didn't look like an incompetent attempt to assassinate Vladimir Putin. That
no.
just looked like something that, like, a
yes.
child... it's not even like...
No, I know.
It was honestly, it looked like an incompetent attempt to fake an assassination attempt on Vladimir Putin.
May I just say that the defense against it is getting pretty serious in Russia. Russian lawmakers have called for the Squadron of Eagles to protect the Kremlin. And I thought, I don't even know what that is, but that sounds, you know, that sounds pretty bad, right? Sounds. No, they just meant actual squadron of birds, of eagles, to prevent against further attacks. So they might be evenly matched here. I'm not sure, but maybe that's just me. Okay, I want to talk to you a little bit about something else that is that's happening that we have got to stand up against. Okay. This gender nonsense is just that. It is nonsense. And we all know it. We all want to be compassionate. We all love people. We should, at least. People who are different. We should have compassion for what people are going through. But there is no such thing as my truth. And once you separate yourself from my truth, you can go on and live a happy, healthy life as a society. If you embrace my truth, all kinds of problems begin to happen. Now, I'm going to give you two stories here. Listen to this. Matthew Voltz has been convicted for the sexual torture of his young daughter and sentenced to 25 years in prison. 25 years. That's the distance between, almost the distance between here and September 11th. Okay? Doesn't seem a long time, especially for this crime. He was serving as president of the Clark College Queer Association. He started an amateur transgender pornography film business with three other people. And they specialized in violent and fetish criminal content.
Criminal content?
Yeah. You know, yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
Okay.
Don't clarify that.
Yeah.
I'd prefer if you didn't.
Yeah. Not sure if it was criminal, fetish criminal content, like you're watching somebody do something that would be illegal in real life, or if it's criminal content, you should not even film that. I don't know. I don't want to go any deeper.
Thank you.
After Voltz and the victim's mother separated, he managed to win custody in 2018. Now, that's interesting. That's interesting. First problem, the court system. You have a dad. Now, I don't know anything about the mom, but I do know about the dad. The dad is the president of the Clark College Queer Association. And I believe let me just read on. So he brought the child from Oregon, next problem, to New Jersey, problem after that, where he exploited his daughters in videos. The child suffered horribly until a tip came in and the police intervened, and it culminated in his arrest. Now, listen to this. I'm not going to get into any details. What they found were 30 computers, cameras, digital storage devices. The videos and the photos show just a living nightmare for this girl. Now, listen to what she was surrounded by. Adam Romero, he was another male transgender. Now, again, I don't know if that's somebody claiming to be a female or claiming to be a male. I don't know. He's another male transgender, so he says another, which leads me to believe that the head of the Clark College Queer Association was also transgender, but I can't figure stories out anymore. Hmm. Another male transgender who had been living on site, then child rapist Sean Allen and child abuser Dulacini Necco. They were found to have aided Voltz in subjecting his daughter to what prosecutors called a vortex of darkness. All four were arrested. All but Necco pleaded guilty to various counts of sex trafficking and rape. Necco pleaded to two counts of endangering the welfare of a child. Unlike now in Florida, child rapists in New Jersey are not eligible for the death penalty. They were instead sentenced to 25 years in jail. The child rapist, Sean Allen, is eligible now for parole in 10 years. The judge said, "This is the most heinous, cruel, and depraved scene I have seen." The prosecutor said there is no hope that these people will emerge from jail as better people because they are not capable. Now, that's the past. That's the system completely breaking down because there is no truth anymore. Okay? You're not allowed to judge or anything. All those people should have been in jail. The child rapist, he got out of jail. He should be in jail. He should have been in jail. Okay? Now, he's serving his sentence at the Edna Mahan Correctional Facility for women, along with the other guy, Adam, who is the other transgender. Neither of them have had surgery, and they both were raping the little girl. So both of them are put into the female prison in New Jersey. A woman at the prison said that female inmates are already scared to death of the male prisoners roaming the halls. Surgery is not required for them, and some of them have undergone hormone replacement therapy. This is happening because the ACLU bought into the lie, whether they believe it or not, that you can be whatever you say you are. That's why if I ever go to jail, I demand to go to unicorn prison, because I am a unicorn. This was the ACLU. They changed the law to ensure that men claiming to be women could be admitted to the women's prisons in the state. That went into effect in 2021. Now, this, they proudly announced, was a system-wide policy that includes housing in line with gender identity and not sex assigned at birth. Only a few other states have such protections in place. New Jersey is a vanguard of states committed to protecting transgender, intersex, non-binary people in prison and their housing determinations, and it continues its path towards eliminating discrimination based on gender identity.
Blah, blah, blah. You said that this is one of these, they are the only states with this protections in place? That's the word they use?
Yeah, protections. Protections.
Protections for...
for the transgender.
Criminal.
Yes, okay?
Not
the criminals who are women, just the transgender. They're going to protect them...
at expense of the women.
Of the regular women. Mm-hmm. The Edna Mahan Correctional Facility for Women is home to 27 transgender prisoners, including a man that the New York Daily News reported had admitted to having a most unusual taste for blood, end quote. The bloodthirsty transvestite in question, Perry Cerf, is a sex offender who went to jail for murdering a woman and then dumping her body into the woods. But he didn't do it. She did. And so she's got to go where she's surrounded by the gender she just killed. In addition to the women's prison being crowded with bloodthirsty men, two of the women have found themselves pregnant from these transgendered men who are now claiming to be women. Lesbian sex doesn't end in pregnancy. Now, I hate to get all medical with
you,
but I am a doctor. This stuff has got to stop. And the people who are speaking out, I love Dee Snider from Twisted Sister. We're not gonna take it. Okay, that is the theme now, I guess, for the San Francisco parade, you know, Pride Parade. And Dee Snider came and said, yeah, I just want you to know there's a big difference between teaching acceptance and normalizing and even encouraging participation in a lifestyle that confuses young children into questioning their sexual identification and through some sort of game. And then the parents in some cases allow it. Other cases, they don't know. You know what? There was a time where I felt pretty, too. Glad my parents didn't jump into any rash conclusions. Well, he has been banned now from the San Francisco, and they are coming after him in every way that they possibly can. This coming from a guy who sang really bad rock songs dressed as a woman. Even he says, yeah, you know, no, that's not the truth. Then you have Kiss, Knights in Satan's Service, you know. Paul Stanley, he took a stand against performing trans surgeries on kids. He got the heat. This 71-year-old, 72-year-old from KISS has just sold himself out. At 71, he couldn't take the heat. He says what he means what he says. Everybody comes after them. We're going to ban Kiss. How many more concerts do you have in you, dude? Stop with the platform shoes. It got creepy long ago. He said, while my thoughts were clear, my words clearly were not. Geez. Most importantly, and above all else, I support those struggling with their sexual identity while enduring constant hostility to those whose paths lead them to reassignment surgery.
By the way, it's not even sexual identity, right? That's not even what this is. This is, they would say it's gender identity.
Yes.
Sexual identity is who you want to hook up with, right?
Yeah.
Not what gender you are, which is a whole nother situation.
Yeah, which is a whole nother lie. The whole other lie.
They can't even keep their narrative straight.
No.
They've come to this point, they're like Ghostbusters, and they keep crossing the streams, and then something terrible can happen.
Right.
And that's what they do.
So, I just want to encourage you. We'll never beat this, ever, unless we identify what is true and what is not. In Germany, too many people just went along because they were looking for somebody to blame. The Jews are bad. The Jews are causing all the problems. Well, they weren't, and they're not. And people just remained silent, and it became the narrative. And pretty soon, everybody accepted it, except many people did not accept it. But they were now wildly outnumbered by their neighbors who didn't accept it 5 years before. You must speak out. Stand up, square your shoulders. We are on the winning side.
Hi, it's Jason Whitlock. Have you secured your spot for Roll Call 2.0, my annual men's summit in Nashville, Tennessee? Are you looking for an opportunity to fellowship with other believers, to come together across the identity lines the left have drawn to divide us? Join me, country music star John Rich, and Blaze founder Glenn Beck in Nashville on Saturday, June 1st for Roll Call 2.0. We're going to listen to great music, eat fantastic barbecue, and hear inspiring speeches from myself, Glenn Beck, North Carolina Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson, Pastor E.W. Jackson, and many more. Let's quit letting the satanic left sift us like wheat. Let's come together as men and talk about the sacrifices we must make to restore the unity and shared values that made our country the envy of the world. Visit fearlessarmyrollcall.com to secure your spot.